The Playbook with Joe, Rob and Anika.
I'm missing fucking Emmerdale for this. We just have to point out that there's three of us in here and we've only got two microphones, but your Joe Rogan don't have to put up with this shit.
God, no. Yeah, why are you sponsoring Joe Rogan? Yeah, you should exactly. be sponsoring
Spotify.
The Playbook
sort yourself
with
out.
Joe, Rob and Anika.
Yeah. Almost sounds like Joe Rogan, doesn't it?
Joe Rob.
What is this, episode 2?
Yeah.
It's episode 2. Tēnā koutou katoa, ko Joe toko ingoa, nā mai haere mai. Welcome to 95 BFM's The Playbook with your hosts, Rob, Joe, and Anika. We're back again, week number 2. And yeah, how we doing, guys?
Yeah, I'm fine, how are you?
I'm great. Anika, how we doing?
We're doing great. Big week.
Right, I'll tell you what, I'm going to hog the microphone now because I'm going to do my bit first because I'm all revved up. Right, there's no Premier League last week, but it was FA Cup weekend. And as usual, there was a few upsets. I love the FA Cup because you get the lower teams from lower divisions. Okay, it's the big boys. And every now and again, you get an upset. And the first one we got, which I'm still laughing about. Man United were at home. They put out a strong, strong side against Middlesbrough, who's from the division below them. They're seventh in the league, so they're not the best, right? At full-time, it was 1-1, so it went a penalty shootout, and Man United lost 8-7 on penalties. You can't blame the manager for this. 100% down to the players. When you looked who was playing for Man United, it was outrageous. I think one of the biggest mistakes Man United made really was re-signing Cristiano Ronaldo. He was a bit of a legend in the club, but they bought him in for the big games and to be an impact player, and he's not doing it, and he's more like an underwear model now, really. You just see photos of him on Instagram and that with his little short swimming trunks on, looking like really manly. And it's just... I think he's a bit of a fraud, really. I think he earns more a week than the whole Middlesbrough team put together, when you put that into perspective, and he's doing nothing. Lots is happening at Man United, which isn't good, and I'm enjoying every second of it. Now, Nottingham Forest, they beat Arsenal in the previous round. They're from the Championship as well. They beat the Premiership side and FA Cup holders from last year, Leicester, 4-1. They just dismantled them. It was a really good game. Quite enjoyed that. And the biggest upset was Bournemouth, who are in the third tier, lost to a team called Boreham Wood, who are in the fifth tier, and they lost 1-0 to them. So it's so good for these teams financially, these little teams. If they have a little FA Cup run, it made so much difference to their finances. So good luck to them. And Tottenham, we easily beat Brighton 3-1. Well, happy with that. Premiership has already kicked off after its break. Today, Newcastle beat Everton 3-1. Newcastle were in trouble. I think they're going to be all right now. And Burnley, this is brilliant, drew 1-1 with Man United. Burnley are real quite cack. So it's just getting even better for Man United. They're just the gift that doesn't stop giving. Do you know what I mean? Spurs, we're at home at Southampton tomorrow, and there's so many games coming up. Just check them out, because they're there almost every other day. It's brilliant. And finally, darts. It was Premier League of that. First game. I didn't realise there's a new format to it. There's 8 players and it's a knockout, so you end up with a winner. And it was Peter Snakebite Wright, who beat local lad Johnny Clayton, whose nickname is The Ferret. Which I think is a bit unfortunate, really, because he doesn't look like a ferret. I think that's quite a diss.
So how did that happen?
How did he get a name called The Ferret?
That'd be shit. I'd be mad if someone started calling me a ferret.
We were talking about this earlier, and I was just asking Rob, what's the process of gaining a nickname like The Ferret? Like, do you call yourself The Ferret? Or, like, how do you get the name The Ferret?
You cannot make that up for yourself.
That up for yourself, are you?
Yeah. Once
it happens, it sticks.
Now, what I want to say is, I haven't got a sporting dick of the week this week. I've actually got someone who I think should be mentioned for being the other side of it. Perfect sporting gentleman. Just absolutely amazing. This is what every sportsman should be like. He lost the final to Peter Wright, but it was the way he reacted. All through the game, whenever Peter did something really good, he would give him the old fist pump and smile, like a genuine smile. And when he lost, he'd go up, give him a big hug, and just, you could see he was genuinely happy for him. And he made no excuses when he did his press conference afterwards. Oh. He just said, oh, he was better than me. And I'm gonna give it some of that, actually, because that's what you should be like.
What a difference to what we were talking about last week.
Yeah.
The tennis and stuff. Yeah. It goes a long way, just being gracious.
Being a nice, like, and that. And that shows what a real sportsman should be like. It's from Liverpool.
And it shows respect to the actual sport.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Respecting a player who outplayed you.
I love watching him. He's very good to watch. The next time he's on Friday, it's at Liverpool. You can watch it on, go to PDC on YouTube or something like that, and you can watch it. I think Peter Wright will end up being number one very shortly. He deserves to be there. He's on fire. And that's me, Rob out.
Sweet, over to me. So UFC Fight Night 47 was just happened this past weekend. So I'll rush over that. The main event, Sean Strickland versus Jack Hermanson. Great fight. Actually, first of all, I want to start with great fight night in general. What tends to happen with these fight nights that don't get as much promotion is that they tend to put on great fights. They just don't really, not many people watch them. I really enjoyed the entire fight card. The prelims were great. The main card was great. Sean Strickland defeats Jack Hermanson pretty convincingly via split decision. I don't really agree with that being a split decision, though.
What does that mean? So I know nothing about this sport.
So split decision basically means that two judges agree with the fact that one of the fighters won, another one will put it in favor of another fighter. So it's 2-1, basically. So,
okay.
Yeah, if all three judges agreed that there was one fighter that won, it would have been unanimous, but this was split. The thing is with this fight is that Sean Strickland very obviously won. I think that he was great at managing distance, using his jab a lot, which you don't really see in MMA a lot, but watching Sean Strickland use his jab was great. But yeah, again, I don't agree with one of the judges putting Jack Hermanson forward as the winner, but I'll get into that later.
Was that a pretty popular opinion? Or
it was not. It was popular for that Sean Strickland was obviously the victor in that. But to put forward,
so a lot of people afterwards came out.
Yeah, and they said that whoever was judging the fight in Jack Hermanson's favor obviously didn't get it right.
Okay.
Another standout from that card, Shavkat Rakhmonov. Hopefully, I pronounced that right.
Doesn't matter. We don't know. Could be. Who cares?
He is from Uzbekistan. 14-0, I believe. 14 TKOs. He might be 15-0. Beat Carlson Harris via TKO, dropped him with a spinning hook kick, and finished with ground and pound in the first round. Very impressive stuff. Rob's just like, what is this guy talking about?
All I can hear is white noise.
That was great. I'll quickly brush over boxing. Keith Thurman defeated Mario Barrios. That was an amazing fight. Both guys coming off a loss. Congrats to Keith Thurman. I had Barrios in that fight, but yeah,
same here, man.
Yeah.
What about you, Anika? Was you right behind that one, weren't you?
Yeah.
Basically, Keith Thurman was coming. This was his comeback fight. He was the last guy to fight. He fought Manny Pacquiao. His last fight was Manny Pacquiao.
We all know Manny Pacquiao.
Yeah. And he lost to Manny Pacquiao in his last fight. This was his comeback fight. Coming up against Barrios, who was just coming off his first loss of his career, kind of the new up-and-comer on the block, although he had just suffered a loss to Javonte Tank Davis, who is another, probably one of the hottest prospects in the game right now, and he's also Floyd's prodigy as well, Floyd Mayweather's prodigy. Okay. These are guys who are all up
and coming. You know who that is, right?
Yeah.
Look at him, he's so confused.
Floyd Mayweather. Oh my, yeah, the Floyd Kanye collab. Yeah.
Also Chris Eubank Jr. Beat Liam Williams. This via unanimous decision. This fight was interesting because of the amount of trash talk that we saw. Wasn't a big fight. Not many people knew this was happening.
Although I do know this, his father is a very famous English boxer.
He is. Chris Eubanks Sr.
Or a Labrador, I can't remember. Or an Alsatian, something like that.
He was quite an interesting personality back in the 90s, Chris Eubanks. A great boxer, just an interesting personality.
Yeah.
How would you describe him, Rob?
Yeah, you had spot on.
Yeah.
You were spot on.
He
used to wear like really funny hats.
Yeah. Interesting dude. Yeah, his son is a great fighter though. Just again, a lot of trash talking, which I think we'll go into later in the show.
Oh yes.
But yeah, Anika.
Sweet. So as most people probably know, New Zealand won our first. I say we.
Did you?
Zoe.
We won.
Did you? I this is news to me. I haven't heard anything about this.
I'd like to thank.
like to thank the playbook. No, okay. Zoe Sadowski-Sinnott won New Zealand's first ever gold medal in the Olympic Games.
Good. Round of applause.
Whoa.
She's so cool, man.
Which is awesome. I'm 20 years old.
Yeah, that's
and you. Definitely on the up. She got bronze in the last Winter Games, but this one was, I mean, she won because she landed a jump that no one else was even coming close to being able to land. The scores were, I think her score, this was her third jump, and she got 92.88. Julia Marino, who came second, got 87.68. Right. So there was a solid few points in between them.
Mm.
And even if she hadn't landed that, her first run, she got 84.51, so she would have been easily had the silver. So good for her.
She's been doing it for quite a while. What do you reckon?
She has been doing it for a while. What's your
life expectancy of that? I mean, as a sportsman in that, because I don't really know nothing about that sport, what sort of age can you still be doing it? It's at. Or is it such a new thing? No one knows.
They're all pretty young. They're all in their 20s.
Okay.
And also, it's one of those sports that you get really good at because you grow up doing it.
Yeah.
And so she was, I think her family moved from Australia to Wanaka when she was like six. So from the time she was a kid, she was like on the slopes out there getting better and better.
Well, she was at world championship level when she was about 16, right?
So 16, 16 she was already kind of very much on the radar for one to watch. But they didn't think that she would win this because they had that American.
Oh, but I thought, didn't she win the same thing in the X Games? Which was only a little while ago,
wasn't it? With the same three jumps. Yeah. So the same combination of jumps. The first of the back-to-back 1080s that conclude her run.
Isn't that some sort of poison that killed for possums, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Okay. She was, Zoe
so
was.
Three rotation tricks, you kind of, I don't know, it's hard to explain, but if you watch it.
It was a 1080 rotation, right?
Yeah, it was a 1080 rotation.
Yeah, she was.
But it was a really hard 1080 rotation.
The last jump the last jump she did was quite gnarly.
It was a backside double cork.
Yeah, so that was gnarly. No, I don't know snowboarding terminology.
And I think you're going into the 540 blind and it's like, yeah, no one else came close to making a jump like that. And she knew. She came out and said afterwards, she was like, going into that jump, I knew if I landed it, I would win gold because no one else is making those jumps.
Do you know what first thing that comes in mind when I do that? How do you practice something like that? Do you do it like on a trampoline or something like that? Or do you go out the snow and just say, I'm going to try that?
I don't think you do it on a trampoline.
But if that goes wrong,
that
could go really wrong. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I think it's just you kind of slowly build up to it. You don't just kind of go out one day and be like, I'm going to try a backside double cork.
Because that was what I was going to do Saturday. I thought I'm just going to just get into it.
Well, maybe start off with a backside single cork, see how you go. Work your way up to the double roll.
Yeah, okay. I have no idea what you're talking about now, but yeah, cool.
No, but it was, she did fantastically. We had, unfortunately, the favourite to win, the favourite to win was Jamie Anderson, who has won the last two gold medals at the Olympic Games. She came like ninth, and that's because she just caked the first and third run and did averagely on the second run. And so she came like ninth. But that's the thing, you get, you've got your three runs, you've got your best out of three.
You can, at that level, you can just be such a tiny little bit out and he just noises it up.
Oh,
it?
That's the thing. And like watching it, you can tell they put like a fraction of an angle wrong and they're landing on their ass. Like, it's just...
And slow motion just makes it look slow even cooler motion. Than what it really is.
Oh, yeah. Honestly, the replay, oh, I love it. Because you see the run and it kind of, it's a blur. It goes right past you and then you watch the slow motion replay and you have a whole lot of, and she had a whole lot of things. She was like, I knew if I touched the board, I would get more points. All sorts of random things like that. But yeah, so you got three runs, best out of three. She came out for the first one, did a fantastic one, kind of caked the second one, and then came out and really nailed that third run, which was incredible. Because even Julia Marino, who came second, her second run was 87.68. But her first and third runs were like 30 and 60.
Wow.
So, you know, you can kind of see the level that Zoe is boarding at. It's really up there. So, yeah, that's fantastic. And then if you want to see a little slow play-by-play on it, the New York Times has a really good graphic that you can scroll through and it just shows you step-by-step how she, like, moves through the air and stuff.
It was fantastic as well because it was a world story. It was news everywhere in the world, which was just amazing for
her,
really. And for the country as well,
so
I think.
So good. Yeah, good for her. She did fantastically. Yeah. And, I mean, I didn't realise we hadn't won a single winter gold.
That was the most surprising part, I feel, about, like, the most surprising part was that, actually, two surprising things. Also, surprised that she was bet against considering she was the defending world champ.
Yeah,
as well.
I think she was just. I think she was bet against for like an age and experience thing, and they were looking at Jamie Anderson, who, you know, it's like, oh yeah, she's won the two golds already. She's coming, and it was sort of like she's defending her Olympic gold streak.
So that really, the pressure wasn't on Zoe. Really, it was on the because
it was on the defending champ.
Yeah, it's great being an underdog.
I also think. She knew she could win. Like, she knew she could win it. She knew what she had to do. And so she was very sort of focused on nailing that one jump that she knew she could do that other people couldn't.
I wonder if she's come down to earth yet.
Oh, God, no. I'd be on cloud nine for a while. Fantastic. She did so... Yeah, it was fantastic.
And I guess that brings us to our next segment, the People's Main Event. So, for People's Main Event this week, we wanted to focus on the Winter Olympics because, I don't know about you guys, but the Winter Olympics, I don't know much about the Winter Olympics, and I think, you know, leading up to today, I'm like, oh, I should definitely watch as much Winter Olympics as possible. So I managed to catch the curling, I watched a bit of the downhill skiing, that was pretty impressive, but I want to get your guys' thoughts. What do you guys think about the Winter Olympics? What are some sports that you guys like to watch and or have been the most impressive?
Well, it's quite easy with me. Curling, that's it. Just love it. It's just maddest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Do you guys want to talk us through some curling?
Well, it's just like the whole thing.
So you brush the ice.
Yeah, it's just like they've got this thing. I think they're called kettles. I'm not sure what the stones are. Maybe this is called stones. But it's such a serious sport. That's got a mad twist to it when they go mad with the brooms. It's just like buy a vacuum cleaner if you need to tidy up. No, it's brilliant. I love it. So yeah, skiing's all right. But that's it for me, really. It's just the curling. It's really a shame that New Zealand haven't got a team.
But we haven't got any teams in any team sport.
There's no sport teams. We were saying before, it's all individual.
I quite like some ice hockey. I've been watching a bit of that. Which has been really great.
Do you think there's enough talent in New Zealand? Would they to actually get?
Well, I don't know. I mean, because when you look
when you look at teams like Canada and America and the Russians, they're not allowed in because they're not there, are they? Again, Russia, I don't think.
Russia,
Putin was there for the opening ceremony.
Russia can't compete under the flag of Russia, so all Russian athletes are competing as the Russian Olympic Committee.
Yeah.
So every Russian or Olympian and team.
That's
all the
Republic of China. Wow. Yeah. Wow, there's something going on there. No politics in sport today, this week anyway.
What do you mean?
Oh, nothing.
But
I was going to start. I was trying to start a conspiracy theory off, but then we don't want to go down that road on this one, do we?
Oh goodness!
Edit that out if you can.
But it's been a lot of fun. I do like watching the Winter Olympics. I like some figure skating as well.
Figure skating's cool.
Figure skating is cool.
Yeah, I like figure skating. Actually, now that we're talking about figure skating, what are you guys' opinion on the Chinese athlete, or sorry, the US/Chinese athlete who received a lot of hate online for falling down during her figure skating routine?
This, you know, my theory on my hate of social media.
But it's like, okay, you try that.
Yeah, well, exactly. Like, exactly.
I'm sorry, if you're competing at Olympic level, you don't just go to the Olympics for fun. You've earned your place there. Shit happens, and I think that's another thing about these, like, winter sports is like there's a lot more uncertainty.
Oh yeah, especially like we're talking about that speed skating. Like, yeah. You know, you could be running in a race and you can fall over, and if it's long enough you can actually get up and maybe have a go.
Yeah,
you're
exactly.
On the ice, it's all over, isn't it?
Exactly.
So yeah,
I think shit moves a lot faster. You're spinning around, you're going every which way, and so shit is gonna happen sometimes. And that's like that's part of the game, and it sucks. And if that happens to you, you're already going to be feeling shit about it. There's no need for everyone to be jumping on your ass. But anyway.
We don't do that here. I think if anybody has a go, fair play to them. I'll be the first to go up and even if I don't like the sport.
No, but that's the thing. They've earned their place there. They deserve to be there. It's not like it's easy getting to the Olympics in the first place, so.
No. I didn't find no difficulty when I went in there. Just got on a bus and away I was.
Straight. Yeah, guys, fake news. The first New Zealand gold medal was actually won by Rob.
Oh, I don't know whether I'd... No, I don't think I'd represent New Zealand. No, sorry about that.
No, you represent
that.
The UK?
UK.
Yeah. No, England. Yeah, UK. Yeah, I'd have to, yeah.
Another controversial occurrence at the Winter Olympics. A bunch of skiing athletes were disqualified for their uniforms being too loose.
Yes. So this was ski jumping.
Yeah, the ski jumping.
So it was the ski jumpers. I'm very, very, very torn on this. Basically, I think there were about three athletes who were disqualified because their outfits were apparently a little bit too loose. And the rules of ski jumping, there are very strict... I don't want to call them outfits, but they're outfits. There are very strict outfit rules, which... So they don't have any excess fabric that can drag them through the air, give them any lift or height. Which is just kind of bullshit, but then it's
ridiculous.
Also like... Because... So Slovenia won, okay, cool, but it's because the German and Japanese skiers got disqualified because of these jumpsuit violations. And the thing is that, like, it's just these women are ski jumpers. They know what they have to wear. They've got a million people on their team who know what they have to wear. And I think the part that I'm struggling with is, like, how you get to the Olympics and all of a sudden that's wrong.
Was it that much advantage, or is it just did they win something and someone goes, oh no, they can't have that because something's flapping about in the wind? That just doesn't make any sense to me.
Their jumps were disqualified during the final. So it was Japan, Austria, and Norway all had jumpers disqualified during the final, which meant that all three nations missed
The rules are in place, I suppose. Yeah.
It's strict measure. They're measurement rules to make sure that there's no excess fabric that can function as a wing and give the athletes an unfair advantage. So that's, you know. But I just, I don't know. I get it, because obviously physics plays a big part in ski jumping on account of, like, you know, you're moving through the air at a certain pace. You have to get there, but I just don't understand how it was fine up until... And, like, one of the athletes, I think it was the German athlete, came out and was like, I've been doing this for 11 years. I've been checked so many times. I've never been disqualified. I'm wearing a suit that has always been compliant. How is it all of a sudden not
the
compliant?
The more I've been thinking about this, it's moody to me. There's something else going on here.
You reckon?
Yeah, that's all I've got to say.
It doesn't.
Allegedly. We've got allegedly. To say allegedly a lot. If you say something a little bit iffy, say allegedly afterwards and no one can do you for it.
Allegedly.
Mm. I feel like our people's main event in sports and politics controversy is just getting a bit...
Mixing into one.
Which is what happens, which is fine. But
based on this article on Cosmos, the rules kind of surround weight. So the lighter you are, the more lift force is going to have hold you up in the air. So I guess you were saying earlier with wings. The ski jumpers try to form an aerofoil sort of a shape, like an aeroplane wing. So what they're trying to do is optimize drag, but also get lift. So I guess with a looser suit.
And I think that the other thing is all the people who got disqualified were people who were in the running to get those medals. And I don't think they're going to risk that.
No.
Like, they're at the top of their game. They're fantastic ski jumpers anyway. I don't think we're talking about athletes who necessarily need to get, I don't know, a millimeter or two of lift because their suit's slightly baggy. I don't know. But I am really torn because obviously the rules are in place for a reason, and it is because in a sport like ski jumping, physics plays such a big part.
Part of me almost goes, you know what? Do what you want. Let's see how far you can actually go. Do you know what I mean? Just let's make it really exciting.
Yeah.
See if you can end up in another country.
Yeah, fuck this. How far can you go?
Yeah, exactly. So
I think that's another sport altogether, Rob.
Yeah, great, great pitch for the new rule set of ski jumping. It should be based on weight,
first.
It should be based on weight. So,
I think it was especially disappointing for Katharina Althaus, who the German jumper, because she was like a clear favourite to win.
It's funny we mentioned weight as well, because...
Actually, I do have something funny though.
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
So Althaus, what was disqualified in the it was in the team event that she was disqualified, won silver in the women's event on Saturday in the same suit.
Yeah, see what I mean? It's none of this is making any sense.
Wait, let me just... I'm very confused.
You actually... Allegedly. No, that's not very good for a brother, but you look confused, which isn't helping us very much.
No, but how does that work? She was disqualified, but...
But competed in the same suit for the team's event.
Oh, when you said you were going to say something funny, I thought it was actually going to be really funny.
Oh, no.
Oh, sorry. I was waiting for a punchline or something. This is still good, though.
Okay, she was an individual silver medalist who was disqualified in the team event.
But she got the silver in the same suit.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, something more is going on here.
So Slovenia won... Okay, now we see. Yeah, Slovenia won because all the Austrian, Japanese and German team all had won.
So basically, it's got to look like a Marvel movie then.
Yeah, skin tight. But no, that is... Oh, and Norway was also disqualified. It's weird.
One last controversy before we move on to our sports and politics segment. A suspect act caught during the speed skater event.
Mm-hmm.
Chinese speed skater appeared to flick a marker underneath the skate of her Canadian opponent.
What?
Which some believe caused her to fall during a chaotic day on the ice in Beijing.
What do you mean supposedly flicked a marker? Surely they could...
So the clip went viral, and I have the video here. Yeah. And I'll have...
Brief interlude while we watch this video.
Yeah. I will just get your guys' reaction on this.
A live reaction. Yay!
A live reaction.
I'll try not to laugh.
I'll just pop it here so we can all see. You might miss it.
Whoa, no, I see it.
Fucking hell.
Wait.
So basically what we're looking at...
Nah, come on. She totally moved that.
So basically what we're looking at right now is a Chinese speed skater. So there are like
firstly,
markers.
Why are the markers mobile?
Well, they're on the ice, so they'll be slippery, right?
Yeah, but why aren't they ground into the ice?
Glued in.
Yeah.
So
very
they
difficult
don't move.
Glue inside the ice.
So essentially...
Drilled in then.
So essentially...
Have you tried super glue? Gorilla glue?
You do get aqua glue that you can use in water.
Well, there we go.
We should be
sponsored
on...
by aqua glue.
We should be on the Olympic committee. They should just put us on.
Clearly, after
that. Well, that I don't know whether it looked accidental, like she accidentally flicked it. I don't know at that speed. I think slowed down, it looks like it could have been done on purpose. But can you see it? If you see it in real time...
slowed down, it does look like it could have been done on purpose. I don't think it...
Part of me wishes that,
I don't think
she did do
it
on purpose.
Thing. I don't think she necessarily did it on purpose, but I think having little things like that that can move around on the ice where you're skating, right next to your hands and your skates and stuff, can too easily get places and spluck it all up.
Yeah.
Like, it's just... I don't know.
I'm 50-50 and half of me thinks, that's really funny. And the other half thinks, I don't know, it's not that funny, is it?
I mean, it's not that funny if you're Little Miss Canada,
No. That's such a... It's weird because it looks like she just very subtly flicked the marker underneath.
But that's the thing with
but
slow-mo.
But it's because it looks like she was holding it. But then, no, you're right, it's slow-mo. You can't
Okay, we've got it up here again. Let's look at it again.
Is this in real time?
This is slow. Apparently, in real time, it's really, really hard to.
So to be that accurate.
Whoa! Hold up! She reached in front of someone and grabbed it. Look, her hand comes in front of that chick.
If you restart it again, hold on.
Okay, wait. See, look, her hand's in front of that chick.
Well, I don't know.
Well, now that's a bit...
Well, even so, if she'd done that on purpose, she deserves a medal for that, because that was really clever. That was fucking quite skillful. I'm on the fence with this. Do you know what I mean?
It's always...
Rob's all for it.
It's always the
win any way you can.
It's... I mean, winning's winning, right? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
What if they're playing darts and just, run up to the board and stick the dart in the ball?
I think you'd be better off if you just hold the darts and someone throws the board at you.
Oh, my God.
It's like a whole different, version of the sport.
I don't know. What do you think? Do you reckon she's done it on purpose?
It seems like it's been done
on
purpose.
What did they think?
This clip was posted on Reddit and it was later taken down. And I think a lot of people... were like, okay, this is quite sus. Didn't really seem like she was doing that accidentally. Like, Anika, you saw, seems to think that reached forward. It definitely looked like she reached forward. I don't know.
I don't want to say that she did it intentionally, that can very easily happen accidentally.
Allegedly.
When you have little markers like that, they can move around so easily on the ice. And with everyone skating in that tiny little sort of tiny little group of people, and they're all on that inner corner. I don't think she necessarily did it intentionally, but I think that it's way too easy.
It would have been a split second thing, going the speed they were. And I think
and
she
I
did.
And I put that on the Olympics.
Yeah.
And they need to fix that. Yeah. Well, I just don't understand why you wouldn't drill something like that into the ice. It's way too easy to move around.
After this, we'll send them an email.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah, you'll be hearing from us.
Yeah, exactly.
Should we move on?
Yeah.
What are we talking about today, Rob?
Well, my big thing is when I watched Zoe win that medal, was the reaction to her competitors who were actually with her, and they looked at they were happy as she was.
So lovely.
And I thought it was a beautiful, beautiful thing. And as I spoke about the ferret in the darts, perfect, perfect. Gentlemen, and then which led me on to trash talking, which just seems to be in combat.
Can I just
sport.
Ask real quickly, does he look like a ferret?
No, because he's quite well, he's not like that eye.
Is it because he's short? Does he have a ferrety face?
Well, I suppose so. I suppose so. And he has ferret-like characteristics.
Rob doesn't want to support
He's got whiskers and all that. I just don't like it.
It's rude. It is rude.
It is rude. But he calls himself... He's got, like, the ferret on the back of his shirt.
Oh, so he's... I mean, that's
He has embraced it.
To be fair, one way to go about it, just kind of take it on the chin, embrace it. And, like, people do respect... Like, I respect that.
It's like, you know, if you...
fuck it, yeah, I am the ferret.
It's the thing is, if you have a pop at yourself before anybody else can do it, you take their power away. Anyway, which led me on to trash talking, which personally... I can't stand it. I hate it. Never have liked it. And I think people should stop doing it.
That's fair enough. There are, I mean, I'm not speaking my own truth or anything.
Are you going to trash talk us now?
I'm not going to trash talk you, but I'm just going to... I mean, there are people who just do think trash talking is a part of sport.
Okay,
you know what I mean?
What is your opinion on it then? Do you like it?
No, I don't like it. I'm trying to choose my words very carefully.
This is going to be good, isn't it?
No.
You just tell us what you think.
I don't like it, but like sometimes, I just think that like sometimes in some instances there can be a place for it, but not. A lot of the time. I don't know. I think maybe sometimes some people might deserve it.
That's fair.
If you know what I mean. Like, sometimes some people would have earned getting a bit of shit. And I think, like, getting a bit of shit sometimes, you need that to sort of keep you in check, keep yourself sort of, like, to check yourself. And it can be good and it can be kind of healthy. But I think it can definitely get taken too far.
I'm loving your jazz hands at this moment. This isn't a very good looking podcast, but it's you're doing the best jazz hands I've ever seen in my life.
Because I'm nervous.
Listen.
No, don't be nervous. If I or Joe have made you nervous, we apologise.
No, I just don't want to say the wrong thing. No, I don't.
You have to be so careful these days what we say, don't we?
I just don't want to sound like a dick being like, yeah, it's all good. But I just think, you know, sometimes in some places there is a place for it in sports.
I mean, some of it is really harsh.
Not all the time. Yeah. And like, I think... It's that fine line between like trash talk. Stop it!
Trash talk.
They're
with
jazz
hands.
Laughing at me.
I think you've started off something new here.
Too bad they can't see that.
Look, man.
But I think it's like there's that line between sportsmanship, and like bad sportsmanship, and some friendly banter.
It's how you lose.
It's how you lose.
To me, that shows a true sportsman is how you lose.
Yeah. And sometimes some people have deserved a bit of trash talking in the past. I'm not saying everyone
No, I tell you what, I totally agree with everything you've just said.
Okay.
But what about the psychological part of sport, right? The trash talk can provoke doubt within your opponent.
Yeah.
Right? Or within the opposing team or anything, right? You just look at the best ever do it, like Michael Jordan or anyone like that. It provokes doubt. Or even Ali, Muhammad Ali popularized trash talk within sports, right? Before Ali, if we look at specifically boxing before that didn't really trash talkers.
True.
You know, it was a sport of like pure respect. It was a gentleman's sport. Then after that, obviously you get like Ali and stuff. Funnily enough, Ali was inspired by a professional wrestler called Gorgeous George. Mm-hmm. So I think that even sports entertainment had a bit to play in it, you know? So I'm not sure. I think that sports...
No, because that's... No, you're right. Sports and entertainment are very interlinked.
That's definitely when it became more of a business, I feel like.
But a lot of it is like putting bums on seats, isn't it? A lot of that with the trash talk with like Conor McGregor. I mean, every trash talk and everybody just go there just so they can watch him get his head caved in.
But somehow,
almost in a way, because he's such a dick.
Well, yeah, he kind of... Well, I guess he didn't really get... His first defeat in the UFC was Nate Diaz. And I think everyone enjoyed watching Conor get choked out by Nate Diaz was in 2015. 2016 probably 2015, I had my dates mixed up. But even before that, the trash talk before that, they weren't like...
Yeah. But do you think the way things are, this is like slightly political thing, the way things are changing, the way people are nowadays is that, do you know what, we've had enough of this.
And, I mean, to be fair, I think, like, there's been a lot of research and stuff done on it to show that it does have a pretty, you know, weighted effect on, like, the psychology of players.
Yeah.
Because that's the biggest thing in sports,
We were saying earlier on, I mean, my non-interest in rugby is quite well known, but I love the haka. To me, it's the best rev-up thing in sport.
Yeah.
For your team, for the All Blacks and the team opposing them, and it's fantastic. To me, once that's finished, I switch the game off because it makes no sense to me after that. Yeah. That's something
and
like
that's
that.
Like a respect thing.
Yeah, so, yeah, I think it's really amazing.
Just, like, remember when the England team, so they were, the All Blacks were doing the haka, and the England team got into that V,
that V shape, yeah, that was
thing, which was, and when that happens, you look at that and you're like, well, that's fucking rude.
No, it wasn't.
Like, it's, that's not, and they got a hefty fine for that.
Oh, was it?
They got fined for that.
I've actually,
it was like so disrespectful, and
They went right up to them another time, didn't they?
It was like intimidation thing of being, oh wait, was it France who got fined?
No, so France, so
the UK got fined.
So the UK got, like, sorry, England got fined for doing that in the 2019 World Cup.
Yeah.
But I think France during the 2011 World Cup formed like the arrow. They did something quite similar, except they didn't just stand there. You know, there have been heaps of challenges to the haka. Like, I think Wales did one in the 2007 World Cup, or I think in 2007. I'm not sure if it was during the World Cup or not.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that either, because it's not really something you challenge. I don't know. I think I can't really look at it objectively, being from Aotearoa, but like, it feels very disrespectful.
Yeah, if you're challenging a cultural, like, if it, I guess, would you count that as trash talk? That's sort of like,
that's not trash talk.
That's like physical disrespect.
It's like that intimidation, which is what trash talk essentially is like trying to do, is like intimidate your opponent.
I didn't actually mean that. I found the haka trash. I think it's a brilliant thing.
We're not talking about the haka. We're talking about when people try to
respond to it.
We're talking about that. And I don't, I mean, obviously that's not trash talk because they're not freaking talking, but they're trying to have that same effect, because trash talk is about intimidation and it's about throwing off your opponent.
I think the best way to deal with trash talk is to ignore them and beat them.
Yeah, or
just say
or
nothing.
Use it. Like, use it. Be like, well, you think I'm going to fucking lose? Watch me fucking win.
Whoa! But that's the sort of talk we want around here.
But that, right? But it's funny you say that. But
I should play sports.
In some cases, that can be used against the opponent. That aggression, that extra build-up and aggression can be used against the opponent. Like, best example of that is McGregor versus Aldo. Aldo lunged at him and got caught with the left hand, right? And that was to provoke aggression. So there, and I'm sure there's numerous instances in sport and other sports where that's been the case, right? It's all about like provoking doubt or just kind of getting a reaction, you know.
I mean, sometimes it's what plays into the frame of mind that you have to, that you want to be into it, because I think it was Michael Jordan who came out and said, he was like, before I go into any game, I need to like pick some person, hate them, like figure out why I hate them and just hate them, and in my head I have to beat that one guy. And that's sort of like the mental place he has to be in to get that really competitive edge. It goes both ways.
Wow.
I don't know.
Wow, this is quite good, isn't it? Quite interesting.
It is quite interesting. Well, it's interesting because it's so multifaceted. Like, there are so many different ways to look at it, and I think it's also interesting because you can't, I don't think I'll ever be able to fully be in a camp for or against. I think it's more contextual than that.
I tell you,
there's
what,
a time and place.
I was completely against it until you did your little argument there, what you said. And I actually, because I do think about shit sometimes. Normally I don't. I'll put it out there. But I actually really thought about that. And no, you're right. Sometimes someone does deserve it.
Yeah.
Especially if someone's been a real idiot about it and made a complete peen arse out of themselves, and then, okay, just slap them down verbally, of course, nothing physical.
And then shit like, if you're being a dick, half the time you just need someone to tell you you're being a dick. And I think that's important. And that's what plays into, like, the competition that's the foundation of all sports.
But what about times when it's unnecessary? Because sometimes it's not always necessary.
Yeah, no, there are hella times when it's unnecessary.
Like, when people can cross the line. I know that there has been some instances where we've seen sports and then cross the line and it's just borderline disrespectful. Like, obviously, trash talk can be used in to benefit, whether that's promotion or psychological edge on your opponent.
Yeah.
But in other cases, it's not like that. So, are there any times you guys can think of in specific? Because I was, I brought up Eubank Jr. versus Williams and during the highlight reel, and I was playing Rob this segment that was done on Sky Sports called The Gloves Are Off. And actually, a buddy of mine who's a professional boxer was talking about this the other day, and he was like, it's so cringe. It's such a cringe part of the promotion process. Like, it's kind of unnecessary because, like, yeah, they've been trash talking each other at press conferences, but now you get them in the room and they're talking about how they're going to rough each other up.
Yeah, to me, it's almost like it's scripted. It's like we've got to, this is all part of the promotion. Let's get them hating each other and just talking shit. And it's, I don't know, just do something different. Just go, he's got a good box, I quite like him, you know. We go out for a drink afterwards or whatever. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've gone against your argument now. I just talked myself out of it. I'm just all over the place with my opinions
today.
Well,
no, but that's the thing. That's what this.
Yeah, it's multifaceted. I kind of want to look at like sports that they just don't belong.
Well, that's what I was telling you. You wouldn't get people trash talking like diving, but we might do swimming.
And swimming, yeah. You can get trash talk.
Every sport has its trash talk.
But what sport would it look like the funniest?
Are we generalising what is trash talk? I mean,
actually, no. I think that would be a good thing to define.
What is it?
Define trash talk. What is it actually?
We might have to make this a two-parter or
something. Are you asking me?
Yeah, I mean, what? We're going to it next week. I think we might all have different versions of it. But for me, like, football is my thing, and we trash talk each other's teams. It's all about trash talking when you're playing another side.
Yeah.
So I suppose I'm guilty. Oh, is it? Oh, yeah, I suppose it is, isn't it? Shit, okay, what's going on?
Because, No, because the more I think about it, I feel like I personally do kind of have two definitions for it. One being something that's done before a game or a match to try to get into your opponent's head.
Yeah.
Which is the one that I don't like as much.
Just use a hammer.
I mean, it's just like, it's kind of funny sometimes, but like, no, I know from a player's point of view, fucking annoying. But then the other one is like sort of afterwards and like analysis. Yeah. Or like, not even afterwards, just like general stuff that's not pointedly trying to fuck up someone's game.
They're just what you're just winding them up afterwards.
It's just, not even winding, but you know, when you're just general discourse around it, I think.
I mean, it does take your head like out of the game though. Even if, like, you know, the
look, because here's a question. Our segment on the playbook, Dick of the Week, is that trash talking?
No.
Yes. Holy shit. Let's just call ourselves trash talk.
No, it is, but no. Wow. No, that's the good kind that we like, remember, Rob? That's the good kind.
I'm back with you again now. Let's start this conversation now because my head's spinning.
That brings us to our next segment, Dick of the Week.
Nah, Jazz Hands of the Week.
Brings us to our next segment, Dick of the Week / with some jazz hands. Can I get some jazz hands in the studio, please?
No, it doesn't work with you, mate.
Oh, God.
You got frogman's feet. That's what you've got.
I have a Dick of the Week, but I know that Rob mentioned that he wanted to do someone who was like a positive, like the opposite of Dick of the Week, because I feel like we should,
I think we've got a bit of positiveness.
Too true.
But my Dick of the Week was the judge who scored that fight to Jack Hermanson during UFC Fight Night 47. That was ridiculous. It's stuff like that which sort of has the potential to ruin a fighter's career and their livelihood. And I hate seeing that. It's been done in boxing, like, for ages, and it's just real sad to see.
Okay, quick question for you. Do you think he was on the take? I know it's quite blunt, really, but if you could see, mind you, sometimes with officials in all sports, I wonder what the hell they're doing half the time when you see their decisions. But if it was that obvious that he should have won it 3-0, you've got to look at this geezer that said, no, the other geezer won it. Do you know what I mean? It don't make no sense to me.
I don't think he was on the take. It's not the same as, like, boxing. Boxing's quite corrupt to a certain degree. I feel like the UFC's not that corrupt, you know? Yeah, you may have some judges who favour other fighters. Like, they're, you know, they're humans. I can understand that.
Are they? Well, that's a question. No, sorry.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
I don't think the UFC is so much corrupt. I just think that, you know, some judges obviously favour other fighters.
But there's obviously betting going on.
Well, yeah, there is betting.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But how could you bet on that? Could you bet on a 2-1 split? Oh, I've got all the jargon now. Look. Hey! Oi, oi!
Yeah, it's kind of disappointing to see. Ruins the sport. But it is what it is. I'm glad the right person still won. Yeah. But yeah, that judge, not cool. Yeah, anyone else have a person in mind? They want Dick of the Week? No. Or positive person of the week?
I also didn't have a Dick of the Week this week because, I don't know, I've mainly been watching the Olympics.
It's got to be Zoe, isn't it? There's our hero of the week, really.
Oh my God.
Hero
of the week. Oh no, not Dick of the Week. Dickhead. That would have been Dickhead of the Week.
Dickhead of the Week. We'll do that sometime. But no, I mean, I've mainly been watching the Olympics as well. Yeah. And as you said, it's been quite wholesome, really.
Brilliant.
I had, as you said, when Zoe won, amazing. Everyone was so lovely and nice about it. But also, I remember when Jamie kind of effed up her run and it was bad and she was like clearly upset. She finishes and you can see people coming up to her, giving her hugs, like, you know, just like being generally quite nice about it, which is good to see. I guess if that speed skater intentionally shoved that marker under the Canadian
part of me,
could be a bit of a dick.
Nah, part of me fucking really admires her for it because that was pretty good. Do you know what I mean?
Controversial opinion of the week.
If you're not first, you're last. Right?
Exactly.
Did she? Nah, she even win. I actually rewatched the speed skater who, like, the Australian speed skater in 2002.
Yeah.
Who won because everyone fell over.
Oh, yeah, we talked about that last week. So funny.
Literally one of the funniest things I've ever seen happen in sport. Apparently the interview afterwards, when they asked him what was his, like, game plan or what was
didn't
his strategy
one, mate.
To win, didn't have one. Went out there, do what he did
you
best.
You see what happened, mate?
Oh, God.
Wow. Sorry about that very bad Australian impersonation. I won't attempt that again.
Please do.
No.
Accent of the week. Yeah.
Is that it?
We'll quickly go over fixtures.
Already done mine.
You've got your, yeah. Oh, Rob's got it sorted.
Dance.
Got dance. Premier League.
Now, I do know, we'll do this really quickly, it's the big one with the UFC. It is Israel.
Yeah, that's probably the biggest one we've had this weekend. Yeah, we've got Israel.
Biggest one for ages, I would imagine.
Yeah, the biggest. It's definitely one of the bigger ones if you're a Kiwi. Israel obviously being the home side. I'll just pull up the card real quick if I can find it. But there are two other guys other than Israel Adesanya who I wanted to highlight. First of all, Israel's fighting Robert Whittaker. That's their second fight. Obviously in their first fight, Israel knocked out Robert in the second round. I had the privilege of being there live, actually. That was a lot of fun.
Where was that?
That was in Melbourne.
Oh, was that?
That was a few years ago.
Oh, yeah. When he come out. I love the way he come out with
his dance.
Yeah, that was brilliant.
Yeah, yeah. Three other fights, which I think... Actually, there's a few on this card. Not going to go over all of them. No. Co-main Derek Lewis was tied to Tuivasa. That's, if you like knockouts, that's probably the one that you want to watch. That's the people's main event for the UFC.
What time does it start?
It will start around 2 o'clock, I imagine.
Sunday? Is it Sunday? Then?
Sunday, yeah.
So where is it in America?
It's in Houston.
Oh,
so
wow.
So Houston,
okay.
Texas. Where everything's bigger. So
that's actually America. They don't use the word A when they say America. They just say America.
The A is silent, yep. Jared Cannonier versus Derek Brunson, another one that's a good fight. That's another middleweight fight. Possible title contender as well. We'll go two fights on the early prelims, which I think you should check out. We've got two Kiwi boys from City Kickboxing. That being Carlos Olberg facing Fabio Chirant, I believe is how you say his name. Carlos is, he lost his UFC debut in a good fight. But yeah, he's kind of coming back to avenge that loss. He's great. He's Samoan boy, Kiwi boy. And yeah, he's a great dude as well. Brilliant, like, definitely brilliant. Worth a watch.
Support the local lads.
Support the local lads. Another one.
Last one.
Blood Diamond. He is the first fight on the early prelims. He's facing Jeremiah Wells. That's this guy right here, unfortunately. His nickname is Blood Diamond. But that's his real name cool. is Mike Mathitha, I believe is how you say his name.
He's South African.
He's Zimbabwe. Oh, Zimbabwe. He's from Zimbabwe. Yeah, he's Kiwi Zimbabwe. Probably the most recognizable name on the New Zealand kickboxing scene. He's awesome. Super unorthodox fighter. Definitely worth checking
brilliant,
out.
Brilliant. And what's up, what time do you reckon that Israel fight? That's the main fight, isn't it?
That's the main fight. That'll probably... Okay, so my bad. The main card starts at 4. So that card, so Israel Adesanya versus Robert Whittaker, probably going to start around 6 o'clock.
Cool.
And yeah, definitely worth checking out. The card, I know that the price of UFC cards went up recently. But it is definitely worth a purchase, in my opinion.
All right.
In my opinion. Is there anything else you guys think people should check out? Winter Olympics, possibly?
I mean, yeah, make sure you're staying tuned for the Olympics. Yeah.
And like lots of football and darts and just get out there and do stuff.
We've got lots of medal events coming up over the weekend and early next week.
Yeah.
And then we'll be at the tail end of it by next week's podcast, so...
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Any more medal possibles, do you think?
There was one... I forgot what event she was doing.
Was it freestyle ski?
Yeah, I think that was it. Yeah. She was possible in medal contention. I forgot her name, though.
So... we have the... Oh, no, the women's free ski big air was yesterday. Was it the chick doing the women's aerials?
I think I was reading about it earlier today.
Holy fucking hell.
Well, you get up and you spin in the air. Aerial. Is that why it's called an aerial?
Yeah. Because you go up high and you actually pick up radio signals.
And you listen to the FM for 2 seconds. So that's on Tuesday.
Brilliant.
Hopefully we win another medal. That'd be cool.
Would be cool. We won two in the last Olympic, two bronze.
And also, there was no Emma Dale today because New Zealand were playing India in the T20, the women's cricket, and we have the Women's Cricket World Cup coming up very, very soon, which is going to be very exciting.
I guess that's us.
That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
Sweet.